Welcome to another episode of Disabled Girls Who Lift. We're so happy to have you back. Real quick, we want to shout out our lovely supporters on Patreon and via Anchor. We have Val Zayden, Kelly, Danielle, Cassie, and Catherine. Thank you for your monthly contributions. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we have a Patreon page, or you can click directly on the Anchor page and support us and our conversations and our web hosting fees and all that good stuff. You're doing great. Amazing. Thank you. So this is Marcia on Seminole Tribe land in South Florida, and I'll let Mary Beth take it away.
Hey y'all, it's Mary Beth sitting on Ohlone land here in Northern California. I do just want to give an extra shout out again to everyone that Marcia has mentioned, because without you, we wouldn't be able to do this every month and be able to introduce all of these amazing guests. As you all know, not one disability is the same. So if you see multiple people with limb differences, multiple sclerosis, literally everything, everybody has their own experience. So it's such a privilege to be able to invite all of these amazing guests to share about how they train, how they do their daily activities. So without further ado, we want to invite our amazing friend. If you were on the panel with us last month, she joined us as a panelist, Samantha Salvaggio Vanderman. I'm just going to say both of your last names, coming in from Durham, North Carolina, sitting on Okonichi Band of the Saponi Nation land, I believe. Yes. Samantha is a personal trainer, fitness studio manager, bikini gardener, invisible illness advocate, cat lover, and is currently residing on 10 acres in Hillsborough, North Carolina. So we just want to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit more about I know you told us about your diagnosis, your active lifestyle, but we'll just have you start off with that.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. This is so awesome. I'm Sam, and let's see, I was diagnosed with MS in 2005. It was kind of like an overnight shift. I was kind of like normal college student before. Yeah, in quotes, please. and then I woke up then one morning and was like sweating profusely, like couldn't use my dominant hand, my right hand, like I couldn't write, couldn't really walk. I was seeing it like double vision only, and I was sleeping. So I slept for like 20 hours that day. And yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was like, this is not right. Let's go to the ER. So I went there. They did a bunch of tests and eventually like diagnosed me with MS. And from that, like the past 15 years have just been like one learning experience after another. Kind of gone up and down with like pretty big bouts of depression where I wasn't healthy and doing the best things for my body. And then working out and movement and lifting weights is kind of what saved me and helped keep me on track. And now we are here today.
Wow, that's amazing. I think that there's a lot that's missing when it comes to like the stories of how people get this diagnosis. I mean, every diagnosis is different, but I mean, for MS in particular, because y'all share these stories and that shit sounds traumatic. And I feel that's never been, like, even when I went to school in physical therapy, they're like, these are the list of diseases, and then the person will feel this, and then they'll get diagnosed, spinal tap, choo-doo-boo-boo. But then, you know, Joe comes on here and was like, I felt like my head was floating, I had no body. The fuck?
Yeah.
Like, and also supposed that, to keep going with your life? Like, why did that happen to you?
That it's, like, not a thing of the past. This is a thing of the present, and you're finding ways in which you have to adapt both in training, at work, literally just waking up every day.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. So after your initial diagnosis, does anyone even talk to you about that part? Or even till now?
Like, it's been like kind of challenging. It was really hard in college because when you're 19 and most of your other friends are 19, they just don't understand. So it was like super lonely for a really long time. And for about a decade, I was like just really absorbing like other people's opinions and like what they projected onto me. And so it wasn't until about 5 years ago where I like really dealt with the diagnosis and was like accepted it and created like my own viewpoint on it. But the first decade was like pretty lonely. And that's always been like one of the more negative things with MS, especially being young, is that it's just hard to find like a community and other people that like truly understand, because unless if you've been like chronically ill, it's hard to know, or disabled, like it's hard to know what that life is like on a daily basis, and to be able to like fully relate to someone else.
Yeah, that's tough. And that really sucks. That really sucks. I think the part that sucks the most about that is like you saying that is nothing new, right? Like somebody else listening to this is gonna be like, yep, that shit sucked. Nobody got it. Like it's terrible. Mm-hmm. Like how do we have life-changing things happen and like these physicians or whoever are just like, oh, MS, all right, well, these are the drugs, have a nice day.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Like, shouldn't that be automatic? Like, all right, so who you guys have? Like, what's your support team? Okay, you have a therapist? Okay, let's get you one. Like, why is that not like, hello?
What's cool though is like, so you got diagnosed at 19. Usually that's very rare for a lot of physicians to even consider, because they're like, oh no, you're young, just go to sleep or eat this and this, avoid red meat. Like, right. But did it take a while for them to kind of come up with that diagnosis, or right after that?
It was like right after. So initially they thought it was a stroke. And then with the MRI, it showed like past lesions. On the MRI, it's like white spots, and that's areas that have like scarred over and healed from like past attacks. And so they saw some of those, and they were in areas that are typical for MS. So they thought it was MS, and I didn't really want to fuck around, because I like was trying to write and I looked like I was like learning handwriting all over again, like a little kid. And so I was like panicked, and I'm just like, yeah, tell me what it is, and I want to take medicine for it and do what I can to like get better and like move on. But yeah, so they thought it was MS pretty early on. I ended up going to like 2 or 3 other MS specialists. And that second and third specialists were not good decisions, because they treated me kind of like in the stereotypical terrible doctor way of like, ugh, you just party too hard, get your life together, and didn't really like think it was MS. And so I stuck with the original doctor who thought it was, and we just treated it that way.
Wow.
Yeah, the shitty thing about chronic illness though, Mary Beth, because that's not exactly, I don't know how many blood tests you do, but like if they don't really hit you like when you're at peak what the fuckery, like everything's gonna look fine. So you know, maybe today if she's fine and they do a spinal tap, they do the blood test or whatever, they're gonna be like, oh, you're normal, you're just stressed. But if they caught everything in that moment where everything was fucked, it'd be like numbers through the roof, right? Like nothing stays the same. So that's the problem.
And you can be explaining like your worst symptoms literally,
and they don't see it, so they're
they don't see it. They don't believe it.
How
the fuck do you prove that?
Right.
As a 19 year old.
Yeah, like I'll never forget the first asshole neurologist that I saw, and I was like, you know, sometimes I've been forgetting to like that I left the stove on, like I leave the door wide open, like the shit is really scary. And he literally looked at me and was like, it's not like you have dementia. I was like, why would you?
But what if I do?
Why would you laugh at that?
Right.
Yeah.
This isn't a joke. Am I a joke to you? Like, Yeah, so that's the tough part about chronic illness and why a lot of people go forever before they're diagnosed until it's like, just said you had scans of past attacks, so these are things that you probably didn't even
didn't notice at all. And I mean, so that time was extremely traumatic, and I'm glad that I didn't really realize what was going on at the time, because I think I would have hit a lot harder.
Yeah.
But I am super grateful that it was such a shit show of a time, because a lot of people with MS do go up to a decade or more with these weird random symptoms, and doctors can't figure it out. And then the longer they're going without medicine or just treating the disease, it can progress further in the future, and it just not a good combo. So I'm very grateful to be diagnosed early. It just sucked.
Here we are 16 years later. Damn. That's
pretty nuts.
Yeah.
So how frequently from then on have you had those big giant flare-ups?
So I've never had anything like that again, thank God. And my second relapse was actually probably the next most severe. So I had gotten the flu in college, and I think that just stressed my body out. And so for a few weeks after, my left eye was blurry, but I wear contacts. So I just thought oh, there's some shit in my contact. I'll take care of it. I'm in college, so just whatever. And then I went to the doctor, and it was actually optic neuritis. So I had a lot of inflammation in my optic nerve, and I couldn't see out of my left eye, it turns out. And so that was the worst one. And because I waited and didn't really know what was going on, it never fully healed. So I can't really see that well out of my left eye. Because if I was left with just the left eye, it would not be a good situation. But ever since then, I mean, I've had about a relapse or a decline in function every year or two after that. I've kind of been switching around medicine since I got diagnosed to try to find something where I'm not having relapses that often, because the treatment's really hard and can have a lot of long-term effects. So, but yeah, it's every year or two.
And is there something consistently that you can tell, when it happens, you're oh shit, I knew I shouldn't have gone to the beach and then whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's 100% of the time, my body will not be able to regulate temperature. So I get crazy hot flashes and sweating. So that's one sign. I'm usually much more tired and fatigued. And then the other one for me is my legs get really heavy and weak and kind of they feel like noodles or jello.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the big three that are please step back from
being relax.
So yeah. chill.
Yeah, relax. Sit your ass down.
Yeah.
Oh man. So how do you adapt the way that you train? Because you manage or own that place?
Manage.
And is it the air conditioned?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Step one.
Yeah. So the studio is called Intent Fit House, and thankfully a lot of the clients like it very cold too, so our temperature, I think the thermostat set at 65.
Oh, thank Lord.
yeah, and we have crazy fans and everything, so it works out, because no one wants to be hot, it turns out. So that working out is okay from that standpoint. I don't really work out exercise outside very often. When I'm working outside, doing the bikini gardening, I have a headband and wristbands that hold ice packs. And then I have these inserts to put in my bra, and they have little beads in them, and you soak it in water for 10 or 15 minutes before, and they puff up, and then you put them in your bra, and as the water evaporates, it helps cool you.
You're gonna have to send us the links for all of those. I need to buy them right now.
Link it in the chat.
Yeah. Do that later. We'll buy all of those. Woo. Yeah. Yes. That sounds
Sam's
great.
Sam's living in 2040. Yes. She's living in the future.
Well, I was so fucking hot outside.
Oh, that's smart. That's amazing.
Everyone, like, they always have these cooling vests. And I don't know if you all have seen them, but they look like, I don't know, like fishing vests with like a bunch of pockets, and they're like khaki colored and they're not attractive. And I was like, I am finding a cute option to help keep me cool. And so those took a lot of hunting, but it was worth it.
Especially the bra inserts. That's huge. Like keeping your chest cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you find that like certain types of sunscreen work better, or do you buy like those UV clothes?
I don't, because if I get too hot, it just like goes south. So like that's the other point of the bikini gardening, is like the limited clothes is cooler for me. But I'm sure the UVA or B or whatever it is, clothes would be helpful. I just don't do it.
It's just not your vibe. That's really great that you have a good place to work out though, because that is not common.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And especially like during the pandemic, I've been very grateful because it helps keep me sane. And so like I need to work out. And so it's nice to have a spot to do it.
And what were you doing before that? Because from what you told us, that is relatively new, this training and managing.
Yeah, so before that, I was managing a other fitness studio, like a cycling and strength training studio.
Okay. So you're not entirely new to fitness world.
Right.
And personal training, because personal training started, or you got certified this year, right?
Yeah, like just a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Congrats. Well done.
Thanks.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm more so curious because you said, I guess around the age of 19, 20-ish, when you were still diagnosed, you said fitness and training saved your life. Were you already, you know, going to the gym? Was it kind of recommended by their friends, colleagues or physicians? Or like, how did that start?
Yeah. So when the one thing, like I always felt about MS, like even right after getting diagnosed, was that I was going to try to control the stuff I could. And so that's like diet, exercise, sleep, and stress. And so I did start like going to the school gym, right after getting diagnosed. Like once, it took me like 6 months to fully recover from that first relapse. And so after that, I started just like going on the elliptical for like 20 minutes or it was mostly elliptical because it was in college and I was like intimidated by the weights, and it was at Ohio State. So it was a lot of like very athletic.
Yeah. Don't we all start as cardio?
But also like no women in the weight rooms at that time.
Yeah.
So it was mostly elliptical, and that lasted for a few years. And then I got really depressed and fell off the wagon, and then got back on, and then, you know, just up and down.
So what made you finally grab a kettlebell?
I had a trainer. I had just started with him, and he focuses more on calisthenics and like that type of training, and then strength training and stuff. And he always used a lot of kettlebells, and he was the one that really taught me to like be aware of my body and form, and just like made me feel empowered from lifting weights. And so that's the reason why I stuck with it, is because like I found empowerment through training with him, like that those early years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And what's important too is we're getting more and more CPTs who are diagnosed or self-proclaimed like adaptive athletes, all those great things, because as you're finding more adaptive athletes or people that are wanting to get into training for the first time, they know they can talk to you about this stuff. Yeah. They know that you've been through it. And so you can, you know,
Yeah, finding a coach deal. And like people that listen can be really challenging. And people that know, like even know what your condition is. Like when I was first diagnosed, like no one had ever heard of MS and it wasn't even as like prevalent as it is today. So people were just like not knowledgeable and not super helpful.
Yeah, yikes. So when it comes to your actual support circle, your friends and the family, like how were they in the beginning of your diagnosis, and how were they when you finally found your footing in your diagnosis? Did anything change?
My husband, I've been with him for 15 years and we started dating shortly after I was diagnosed. So he's been around the entire time and has been supportive regardless, which has been great.
That's awesome.
I think my parents have a little bit more of a challenge with it because I think it's like their kid and they don't want anything to be wrong with them. And I think they have a lot of trouble like accepting and also not placing any blame on themselves. So it's been kind of interesting, like, I don't know. I haven't been talking to them that much, honestly, like, and since I have found my footing, like, especially within the last year or so, because it's just, I'm finding it difficult to, like, relate to them, because I feel like I can't share that with what's actually going on.
Yeah, you can't really be your whole self, because you're worried about how they're gonna feel.
Yeah, because then it's, like, the next time I'll be, like, my mom will be, like, I was up for 3 hours last night because I couldn't sleep because I'm worried about you. So not as open with them, but family or husband and friends have been really great.
Yeah, I can see that. Just a lot of the pretending that I'm okay. I'm all right. You don't need to worry or take care of me. Like feeling that, you know.
Yeah.
Burden, which I hate using that word, but there are just some people, even if they're close to you, that you just don't want to talk to them about your disability with. Like, this is why I have these sessions with Marcia and, and our community, because you'll just understand.
Yeah,
there's no pretext there. And it sucks because it's not your fault, right? Like, it's not your fault that you're sick. It's not your fault you can't speak to them about it. Like, that's some shit they got to deal with.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so now I got to do, like, unpacking for myself and deal with my diagnosis and then also like try to walk you through it. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and that's why I was like, I'm not doing that. It's like work. I'm sick of having to be strong all the time, so
I can't take care of my life and be your therapist, like,
for real. I'm gonna have to start charging you. That's sorry, mom.
It's really a whole complex. It really. And where's your family from?
Ohio, and they're in North Carolina now. They moved to be closer to me, and I partially think that's because they think I'm gonna like end up in a wheelchair and need them to take care of me, because they were much further away. And they're creeping closer.
Yikes. Did you go to North Carolina for school?
No, I went to Ohio State for undergrad, and then my now husband had gotten into school, pharmacy school at UNC. And so we moved down here. And then I went to Meredith College and got my master's in nutrition later.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Neat.
Damn, you got everything.
Edumacated out here.
How the hell did you get all the student loans to go for it?
And how did you end up on 10 acres? What was that about?
Graduate school, my project was like, my big project was making a documentary following like a tomato seed from when it's like made and put in the packet all the way to someone's dinner table. And so we did a lot of like filming and stuff at local farms, and I just really fell in love with local food and agriculture and working with the land in like a very like synergetic like harmonious way. And so And my husband is very outdoorsy. Like, I've always been more of the city person. And so when I started getting into it, he was like, yes. And then we started looking for land and kind of just went from there.
Oh, I love that.
That's awesome.
And yeah. Is it mostly like vegetable and fruit gardens, or do you have any animals? What do you use your acreage for?
So
we should know this.
We have like 2 acres cleared around the house because it's all wooded and we didn't want to clear too much. So we just did 2 acres around the house, and we have veggies, berries. I'm like trying apple trees, but it's really not working out. A lot of flowers and stuff like that.
That's so cool.
I really want a donkey. That's my dream. You want a donkey? But that is not approved.
You don't have chickens. Or what is?
No, I think my husband is just like, can we just chill, please?
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, but goats, I think we'll do too. Chickens and bees eventually. Goats, maybe. I don't know.
The bees would be great for the for the actual garden too, right?
Right.
All your flowers need flowering.
That's amazing. That's so cool. So
bees.
So you got into gardening before it became the like national COVID hobby.
Right.
So how has that changed things for you? Has it made things gotten more expensive?
Anything at the nursery this year. Everyone's taking all my veggie transplants. I mean, it's really good. I'm happy that more people are gardening and like getting back to the land. But yeah, I couldn't find shit at the nursery.
You gotta start your own greenhouse indoors and then
plant
yourself.
Yeah.
And then harvest all the seeds yourself and then just like do everything.
Right. Yeah. God, if I had the time, I totally would.
That's intense.
That's amazing. Though I love self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
Self-sustainability, all of that.
No, that's awesome stuff. And I like to see the documentary. Is that like a public thing?
It was on like PBS, like on the...
Damn, my bad.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, that was back in 2012. So I'm not sure what has happened and if it like runs anymore. But
That's pretty
There's got to be a link somewhere, like a video online.
Yeah, I'm sure I could find it.
So in your personal training, is that a part of it, the nutrition and the knowledge you have from that?
Yeah, like I think over the last 15 years, I've just really seen how like good, like a healthy diet, getting in movement, and then like stress relief, however that, like whatever form that is in, whether it's like movement or gardening or whatever, cats. like I've just seen the whole picture of how beneficial it is, so
being one with yourself and with nature, and oh my god, just like having that serene quiet space to yourself, drinking a cup of tea in the morning.
Yeah,
I miss that.
Oh,
I know. I don't have my garden anymore because I'm in an apartment, so I live vicariously through all of your posts.
You gotta get a container garden. You gotta like.
I know. I bought some, but I was trying to regrow my potatoes, and you need a much like taller container, which I don't have. Anyway, so you've been like gardening in your bikini every Sunday.
Yeah.
It should be a separate Instagram account.
Bring the house on yourself.
Yeah. Well, and it's always awkward because like, I mean, we're back away from our driveway's really long. It's almost a mile long. So like, you can't really hear anyone coming or anything. And we get deliveries like all the time on the weekend. And I'm just like out there walking around like dirty as shit, like in a bikini trying to garden and the delivery people are coming. It's just, I don't know.
You have garden beds in the front and
that's
backyard?
Funny.
Yeah, you can kind of see everything. So most stuff's like on the front and side of the house.
Well, it's your life. I mean, it's your property.
They like the view, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. That's like when I have the when I work out in the garage, it opens to the back.
Oh, yeah.
So if I happen to be working, like when the trash guys are coming, they'll be riding on the trash and they're like, we see you, girl. I'll be like, yeah.
I love that kind of support. Hey, but it's literally, you're in a bikini. It's not like you're like butt naked tanning. I mean, that's.
Society's so weird though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't society weird? Like a bikini on the beach? Okay. Bikini at your house? Scandalous.
Freaking dads and their dad bods are mowing the lawn shirtless and sometimes in their underwear. So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You're actually wearing more clothing.
No, it makes them very nervous.
Yeah.
The delivery guys. Because I normally will like purposely like walk out and like get the package from them. And yeah, they do not seem comfortable. So weird.
I gotta deal with it.
Oh, like, man. Do I need her signature that badly? No, I'll just leave it on the front step.
I'll just take it's a picture fine. On the doorstep. Oh. People are funny. Well, before we you move know to the next topic, though, let's take our break.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, back to the show. So yeah, bikinis, gardening, hilarious. Honestly, these people out here are wild. They can't handle bikinis. Yeah, I mean, I work out.
No.
In your gym, are you fully clothed? Because I work out like usually when I used to go to the gym, take my shirt off or whatever.
Yeah.
And then if there was other women in there, they'd be like, oh, now that you took your shirt off, I feel comfortable taking mine off too.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, really? Yeah. You see a sloppy ass dude over here with his shirt off? You worried?
I know. Yeah. You just need one person to take their shirt off and then everyone's doing it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's belly's all out. I don't care. I'm hot.
Yeah. No, it's like, no, I want to be cool. And I don't want like clothes like catching and stuff when I'm lifting. Like, just take it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have any like actual sensory issues, like how it feels on your skin?
Yeah. So my left side has always been like my pain in the ass side. And so it's like numb and tingly and like just weird sensations. So sometimes like if stuff touches me, I'll think it's like wet or cold and it's not. So that like trips me up sometimes. And clothes do feel weird for sure.
Yeah, there'd be some days where I literally change outfits like four times. I'm like, not this fabric. No, I don't want my armpits to touch.
But do you feel the same sensation, Marcia? Like the cold, wet feeling?
In general, depends.
Yeah,
depends what I'm going through. But I do have that. That was probably one of my first. What the fuck is going on? That I felt. You know how it feels when you pee yourself? I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, that that's feeling. What I was going to say when you were done talking is I thought I peed myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would be at work, and this was when I worked in like a physically demanding, like adult spinal cord injuries, like hoisting them into fucking treadmill machines, right? And I'm just like, did I?
I pushed a little too hard.
Hold this man for a second. Right. What the fuck?
And so are you guys sweating or it's not wet at all?
There's nothing.
No,
there.
It's not wet at all. It's wrong. Be like
it's incorrect information.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, like it happened like yesterday when I was in the garden, like a piece of a plant touched me and I thought it was wet. So I like freaked the fuck out and like jumped away and was like, oh my god. And it's like a leaf and it was dry. Like it's so yeah, it's complete incorrect.
Incorrect Whoa, information just wrong
yeah
bodies yeah. is weird though bodies weird very weird. And can you tell where your body parts are? Have you lost the joint sense?
It's better than it used to be. I think I've always been very disconnected with my body, and so weightlifting and stuff has kind of brought me back to it, but it's also made me aware that I'm not as aware as I thought.
Yikes. So what adaptations do you make for that, or do you just try to go slower? Do you use different tools?
Slower, always in front of a mirror, or I'll be like looking down and watching my body I'm normally okay if I can just like watch it happen. Like I just need to be able to see because I just can't tell like if my knee's like going in when I'm squatting or not. So it's like helpful just to have a visual affirmation. But that's it. I haven't needed anything else yet.
And what kind of workouts are you saying? Weightlifting? Are you doing barbell workouts, dumbbell, kettlebell type, or
kind of a mix? It's like, yeah. So I usually focus like what do like deadlifts, pull-ups, push-ups, squats, hip thrusts, and then like different accessory work or like things like split squats and lunges and stuff like that.
Are you, do you still have a coach or a program?
No, I've just kind of been doing like my own program. Because over the years I've been able to like figure out which exercises work and like, I don't know. I feel like some exercises just work better with people, someone's body over other exercises. So I figured out what's worked for me and I just program those. And then I try to add in some shit that I don't like to do on purpose. So I'm not just like cherry picking, but yeah.
Work on those weaknesses. I love it.
That's yeah. The tough part.
I won't do it.
That's the tough part for sure.
Like I'll do that next week.
Yeah. I did enough today. I did a good job. I'll do it next time.
There are days like that for sure.
But that's nice amazing. Also when you have, I mean, you don't have to worry about access or your scheduling, like you're in charge of all of those things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been really nice. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the studio is pretty open because, I mean, the studio had opened right before the pandemic. And so it's not, oh, geez. Accurate. So it's not like we're very busy and we have a lot of room to grow, which is great. But yeah, it's a free space most of the time. So that's nice.
And as far as your actual work there, are you more than just, like managing desk work? You teach clients or group classes?
I haven't started teaching yet. I was kind of waiting to get like the personal training cert and then see how I feel. I kind of do most things at the studio. And so I need to like figure out a life like balance before I think adding classes onto my plate. Cause it's already just kind of hard to keep up when you're like the point person for everything.
Yeah. You're already the person. Yeah.
It's like operations, all that memberships.
Right. Cleaning, like everything.
COVID protocols.
Yeah. All the ordering. That's not fun at all. Yeah, this is interesting. This is like a moment. We just entered a moment in her life, Mary Beth.
I know, it's amazing.
A year from now, who knows what's gonna be happening? This is cool.
It's only up from here.
Yeah,
up and up. That's amazing.
I can't wait to see what happens there. And do you even know? You don't even know what you like yet, right? Like, you don't even know. Maybe you like online classes, maybe you like in person, maybe you like one-on-one, maybe you want to do nutrition coaching, maybe you don't. Like, you don't even.
No, I have no idea. Yeah. We'll just try stuff and see how it goes.
Yeah. What's good is you already have a gym. You already have potential clients.
You already have a community. You have people that respect you, you feel comfortable in. Because that, to me, is the harder part. The rest, you could figure it out. Try it. You don't like it. Fuck it. Moving on.
Yeah.
Totally. Or you don't find, like, the right gym for you.
Yeah.
Like, right now, this is your space.
Yeah.
You can play whatever whatever freaking music you want.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, in general, like, I don't know, our studio tends to be inclusive, and I think it's helpful that I am like very open about MS and like my struggles, and it has helped like bring in people that normally aren't comfortable in other spaces, which has been good because I want to like be able to offer that to people. Because movement is so powerful and can make such a difference. Like physically, but also just mentally. And I mean, it makes you like less stressed, but it's also like confidence building. And so I just want as many people to experience that as possible.
Yeah, that's so important. That's so important too, after being cooped up in our homes for a year and a half, 2 years now. And still kind of, you know, like we don't interact the same ways that we used to socially, but being able to move again and leave your bed sometimes, literally any type of movement is amazing for our minds.
Yeah, that's all good stuff. I hard agree on that. It's going to be an interesting journey. Can't wait to see what you come up with. But your Instagram account and like the content that you put out, like how's that going? Where'd that come from?
That's like 15 years of pent up shit. That
just, like, slowly same, getting same.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think like the last year, I've started being like way more open. And yeah, it is. It's just a lot of stuff that I thought wasn't okay to talk about. And it's turning into like way too big of a part of my life to not. And so, and I mean, I felt alone for so long. If I can make someone else feel less alone, just even for 5 seconds after watching like some silly reel, like I'm down.
And these are all daily experiences, like, oh shit, something happened in the garden. Oh shit, something happened during squats.
Yeah.
You're a lot more aware of it today than you were 15 years ago.
So
you're able to like vocalize that a lot more. And literally we have communities out there that didn't exist 15, 20
years ago. Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. But it's funny because I don't know how you feel. Like online, you know, it's a content, it's helping people, it's like you're being your whole self or whatever, but then when it comes to people that you've known before that online part of you, it's like y'all don't even know me anymore.
Totally. And I think about that, like before I post some stuff, I'm just like, oh god, what are people that know me gonna think, because this is not like on brand for the Samantha that they know,
right?
Like but
the beta version, they don't it's the only one they know.
Welcome
like, to my life.
Right, exactly.
You were never a part of my life before. Now welcome.
It's interesting. It is, because I might post something and then there'll be somebody that like I forgot that followed me, and I'd be like, damn, you know me like when I was in seventh grade, like what do you even think about?
For real, especially those high school friends.
It's like, oh, hello. Yeah.
You're still here? What are you even thinking at this point?
Yeah.
It's great, though. You're thriving.
Yeah, I mean, trying.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of work, but if you're doing what you want to be doing, not because you feel like you have to do it.
Yeah.
And your partner, this is your college sweetheart, too? Because you met...
Yeah, you said 15 years.
Yeah.
You met his children.
So, seriously. So in undergrad, I studied pharmaceutical sciences. So I was in the pharmacy dorm and he wasn't planning on pharmacy school. So there was like some formal or something second year of college. And there were like nothing else going on that night. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to this formal, like this is dumb. And then, to be completely frank, like he was a one night stand that night. And like, we just never separated after that. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Like we knew of each other, but then after the formal, we just like started hanging out more and.
Because of some dumb formal you went to. You had nothing better to do.
Yeah.
Sparks flew.
Right.
The universe is a fickle bitch, I'll tell you what.
He was the only one you had breakfast with after.
Exactly.
He spent the night. You didn't call him.
You woke up like, all right.
Yeah. You'll do.
I guess you could say. That's fine.
Oh, that's so cute.
And he's a sweetheart.
When did you get married?
We got married really because of chronic illness. I was 26 and getting kicked off of my parents' health insurance. And at the time I was like in grad school. And so we decided to get married like right after I finished school. So I could switch over to like his insurance.
That's the reality of disabled folks, right? Like that's we make so our American. Decisions based on insurance or how many people don't get married because then they'll lose Medicaid.
Right. Like I never really had marriage in the plan. But then it just was like, okay, I need health insurance. So let's just make 26, this official.
That's the age.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And that it wasn't even that much. That was like new. That was Obama era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's right. Because before that, it used to be 21, 18. What was it?
I don't remember what it was.
I think 21.
It was
It was definitely not 26. That's amazing.
No.
Definitely. I remember thinking I remember looking at like the health insurance from the schools and then it changed. So. Yeah. It had to be pretty young.
Hopefully soon health insurance will be free so we don't have to marry nobody.
Or marry if you want to marry. Yeah. Whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it's so true though, because even if marriage, even if you think that it's like in general something you don't need to do, right? Because that's like a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Right? Everything's made up, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you don't agree with what marriage means here. But at the end of the day, like if you're in the hospital and some shit goes down legally, he pulls up as your boyfriend, they're gonna be like, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not of
it's
kin.
So stupid. Like these are things you really that most able-bodied, normally functioning folks would never have to consider.
Yeah.
You really actually have to think about this shit. It kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the MS medicines, especially in the last 10 years are like really new. And so they're really expensive. It was pretty common for my medicine without insurance to be like between 70 and 150,000 a year.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
100,000?
Yeah, that's why I was like, we're getting married, bro.
Oh,
it's like
God.
A top trim Tesla.
That's so romantic.
Get out of here.
Right?
That's America. That's an American romance.
Yeah, thank Fucked God. He was up. Like, okay. Like, I don't need romance. Crap. That's fine.
Damn.
I hate it here.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just the one. I mean, I take like, I think 10 other medicines on top of that. So.
And are
like
they
normal cycle
injections or just oral pills?
So right now my MS medicine is an infusion that's every 5 months that takes 6 hours, and then everything else is pills. But for the first maybe 8 years, 8 to 10 years of MS, I was on injections, and those sucked. Like those were just really hard. They just would make like huge bruise, like welts all over, and make you feel like you had the flu every time you took it. And so some of them were daily, some were like every other day or once a week, but you just didn't feel that great on them.
That sucks. So now you're feeling, so at the, you said every 5 months. So towards the end, you start feeling like shit.
Oh my God.
You feel
the
difference?
Yeah.
Like,
so
I need to re-up.
Yeah. It was every 6 months. And then the FDA just approved it for 5 months. And so when I went into my neurologist and I was like, hey, I feel like shit. And I still have a month until my infusion. He was like, well, let's move it up. And so now I'm doing every 5 months.
That's great.
Yeah.
6 hours though? God damn.
That's a lot.
Wait, how does this infusion work?
What?
It's like
how does
IV?
This infusion work?
Yeah, so it's an IV, and it's like you go in and then you take Benadryl and some you get steroids infused, like a small dose. Because some people have like an allergic reaction. So the Benadryl and the steroids are supposed to help that. And then they start the infusion and you just kind of like hang out, read, eat, whatever. They approved it for 3 hour, like faster infusion, but they like just approve that, and I'm not.
That's scary.
Yeah, just, like I don't mind just sitting somewhere.
Yeah, if you're used to it.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Mm-hmm.
We'll take it slow because it's pretty potent.
Yeah.
And is this in the hospital or is it one of those dialysis looking centers?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like an infusion suite. So it's normally like MS patients getting their medicine or steroid treatments and then migraine patients.
Okay, so you might not be the youngest person there.
No, and it's interesting like to see how the age shift has happened, like especially over the past decade, because when I first started going there, I was the youngest by like 20 years. And it was like, I was like the black sheep.
Are you
like
lost, everyone sweetheart? Was looking.
Yeah. And there's like, who is this girl? Like she's here for a treatment. And then now I'm like normal age. And most people are like normal. Most people are in their like 30s or 40s.
Wow. That is interesting. Yeah. That's very, it depends on what doctor I'm going to, but usually the youngest person there. Oh, especially when I go to the cardiologist.
Oh, God.
They're just like, are you here for your grandpa?
Yeah.
No, it's me.
Yeah.
So wait, and Marcia, how do you work around scheduling those appointments without an official diagnosis?
Well, remember, I work for myself, so I don't have to prove it to anything to anybody. I just have to make my schedule work. That's pretty much it. But and then also, again, America. So I have good insurance because my partner's in the military. So I have the insurance that I could just pull up wherever I want. I could call, hello, neurologist, I'm coming. I don't have to go to the primary to have them think that I'm right in asking for what I'm asking for and then allow me to go.
So you go straight to the specialist always and you already have your chart there and everything.
Yeah, so it's a lot harder when you're stuck on the, and I don't remember, it's like HMO, PPO, one of them is whatever, I don't remember which is which.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the usual setup is you have the one where you have to go to your primary care and say, I've been having brain fog and dizziness issues, can I see a neurologist? And if they say no, then you don't.
Yeah. And then if they say yes, you call the neurologist and it's like 6 month wait.
Exactly. And then that guy's an asshole and you try again two or three more times and then you find someone maybe.
Right.
Yeah. It's a process, which is also why a lot of people, like, you know, you might hear somebody like, well, she said her eye was fuzzy. She didn't go anywhere. It's a fucking hassle. It's not easy.
Yeah.
No. So I'm sure somebody might hear that and be like, well, why, something was wrong? Why didn't you go check it out right away? Like,
Well,
you can't just show up somewhere like.
And I don't know, like, if you feel this way with chronic illness, but it's like you're so used to shit not working right.
Yeah.
That like when something happens, it's kind of like, let's wait this out, like, and see.
Yeah, let's see if this sticks.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we'll see. But what's today? I give it 2 more days.
Yeah,
definitely. Because there's like seasons to it, and it just depends. Right. Maybe it's because it was extra hot this week, or it's because you ate something that was super salty yesterday, or like, it's so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Not to mention like being a woman and how your pain tolerance just has to be so much higher than that of men. Literally, it's like ingrained in our biology that our pain tolerance is just. Women go through strokes so many times in their lifetime that they don't even realize it.
Undetected.
Because, and even like, that was probably my period, or that was probably just a migraine. Like, what the fuck?
Even that, though, that's a good point, because every cycle, I'm going to go through a whole cycle of things. Yeah. Like, right before, like the week before, I'm like extra itchy everywhere. Rashes or no rashes, just itchy. And then like during it, shit. And then after, like twitchy, like there's always something. And then it'll start all the way over again. Shit ain't fun.
Yeah. And it's nothing ibuprofen will help, but you know, you're on your period.
No, uterus is what the uterus wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do your symptoms change with your cycle? Like the time of the cycle that you're in?
I think the fatigue and the pain probably change the most. Like more tired and more painful. Like the pain is mostly in my legs, and it's like a deep, like bone pain that like it would just wake me up and stuff at night. And so eventually I decided to do a pain med to like help control it, just to improve like my quality of life. So that kind of helps with any fluctuations, but sometimes like that medicine doesn't even touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to look more into this thing. I just heard about this other. So people say PMS, not PMS. It's like PMDD or something.
Oh yeah. I heard of that.
And then it was some random podcast I was listening to. And they said that in a specific week of their cycle, they take serotonin or something. I'm like, well, what? I need to look into this.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it makes everything
that
better.
And like, I mean, you having like a nutrition background too, what I've been seeing a lot of, it's like, okay, the months or the weeks leading up to your period or any flare-ups or anything like that, you know exactly which nutrients you should be taking in. So in your food, this is going to be the menu for the week. This is going to be the menu for your last day of your cycle. You know, I want to kind of start learning how to do that. Because your symptoms will be different. It'll lessen.
Yeah, I'm with you there. There's definitely some things that I'll just look at and be like, I feel like this isn't gonna sit right.
Yeah.
And just avoid it. And there's definitely
There are things that your body craves too when you're on your period. Like, oh, you're lacking in iron. Okay, I'm craving this. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So if I just understand my body a little bit more, I'd know how to not necessarily prevent it, but, you know, lessen the symptoms.
Help it along.
Yeah, definitely. That's
what it's asking for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
Bodies are interesting things.
I definitely seriously.
Like I go like hardcore on like beet juice and yogurt.
Ooh.
And then there'll be a certain time where I look at yogurt, I'm just like, disgusting.
Yeah.
It'll be like 2 weeks later, I'm like, I need this right now.
Yeah.
Beet juice. Oh, so good.
There might be times where yogurt is literally spoiling in my fridge, and then other times where I don't have enough.
Yeah.
And it's probably what you I never thought about it. It's probably that.
Yeah. You got to track it. I started using this app called Pee Tracker, so it tracks your period and your flow.
Oh, I'm trying to find a good one.
Yeah, Pee Tracker. And you log every month when you get it, when you stop it, what your symptoms are if you want to. And then if you're trying to conceive, it tells you when you're most fertile, when to be sensual, things like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a good app. Some of them are kind of buggy. Tracker, I'm gonna look into that one. I think the latest one I'm trying is Eve, but I haven't figured out.
Oh, I've heard of that.
A little confusing for me.
Yeah, so if you like merge that with some sort of nutrition app or just like a diary and start logging what you're eating during those times, those weeks, it might be helpful.
Ooh, that sounds like a good experiment.
I'm gonna try it.
That sounds like a good experiment for real. I'm intrigued. Definitely. Anyways, before we continue on that tangent, is there anything that, I mean, we talked about a lot and I think we had a great talk, but is there anything that you're like, shit, I gotta say this? Get this off my chest.
I'm trying to.
Or any topic think. That we missed?
Maybe. I don't think so. I mean, I think over the years I've learned about the importance of listening to your body and then. Also, like, just falling in love with, like, the journey and the process that is chronic illness and life and fitness and everything in general. Like, not to be striving for a destination, but to enjoy the ride.
Bars. Bars.
put that on a shirt.
It's always a process. This is true. Where could folks find you? What are your handles? We know your handles. They don't know. What's your handles?
It's SL Salvaggio on Instagram and TikTok. So SLSALVAGGIO. And I'm working on a website, but that'll be SamanthaSalvaggio.com, but it is not ready yet.
Mm.
Yeah, I noticed your email. I'm like, damn, girl.
I'm trying to get official.
Get it.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'd love to see it. It's work. It's labor.
Yeah.
Obviously, but
Again, when you're doing something you want to do, not because you have to do it, not because you're like, I gotta pay these bills. You're like, yeah. You know what? I like this and I can make money off of it.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. I mean, ultimately, I'd like to be able to create a community for like other people with chronic illness so that we can all talk to each other and complain about health insurance and not feel alone.
Yeah. I think soon too. This is just the beginning. We're so excited for your venture. But we can probably start talking about how, since you're CPT especially, we can start incorporating, I don't know, some classes, some programming for disabled girls who lift and do some sort of a partnership whenever you're ready.
That'd be so cool. Yeah.
Whenever you're ready.
Yeah, we could have some fun. Definitely. Awesome.
Lots of people.
Yeah.
That need support out there in the world.
Lovely, lovely. All right. So you know where to find good old Sam. You know where to find us. And it's great way to stay in shape. Disabled girls out.
Thank you. Bye.